is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the show, Nailed It. I'm Leonard Sands.
And I'm Debbie Deal.
And today, I have on my
suit.
My suit jacket.
Because I'm looking very dapper.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm going to be in the office of the president of the Contractors Association for the majority of the show.
Okay.
So I want the listening public to understand that you're not speaking to Leonard Sands. Leonard Sands. The public citizen. Mm-hmm. You're speaking to Leonard Sands in the office of the president of the Bahamian Contractors Association. So everything I am saying is speaking from that perch, from that responsibility as being the voice of the thousands of contractors through the length and breadth of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And I must apologize for not actively promoting their issues as much as we could. Because we speak for the BCA most time, but it's generally been kind of, for the most of the show, touch and go about it. Today, we are speaking about the concerns contractors have and how it affects you. So, let me give you my opening opinion on what the public should appreciate about contractors. Construction. And I had an interesting conversation with one of the senior directors at Albany Development, where they've spent almost $1 billion on that property. And they said, do you know that in the UK, the construction professional is on the same level as a doctor or lawyer or an accountant? Because in the UK, the history of putting up structures that stand for hundreds of years mm-hmm. is the testament of Correct. The building professional.
Correct.
That's what they use. They say, yeah, you could heal people. And we got buildings that date from BC 20 that men built, that from England mm-hmm. and Norway and UK.
And
they're proud.
And we have trouble building buildings that last for 35 years.
Okay.
Yes.
They're proud. Of the craftsmanship of persons who built those things, and they're professionals. And he said, I've come to appreciate that in this country, that's not the same view.
Right.
And he's an Englishman. And he said that's difficult for him because he's a professional in England, but in the Bahamas 20 years, he's considered some guy who just knows the buildings. Granted, the things he built are 9-story condo buildings that cost about $10 million to $30 million each. But he's still a guy from the UK who knows what the building. You see, in quotation, a guy who knows what the building. Because we don't have a profession here.
Right.
He's RICS qualified. He has chartered membership, our Royal Institute of Chartered stuff that we have. Mm-hmm. And I have one or two of those as
but
well.
But the recognition is not here.
But, but no recognition in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking for the contractors in the Office of President that that's wrong. We have to change that. I go in spaces with my fellow Bahamians, and I love to hear about people talk about how my son and daughter just came back and qualified at the bar, and she's working for this or that firm, and my son is an engineer, and he just got his PE, and he's working for this firm or that firm. And we hear the pride of everyone else, children, mm-hmm. who get professional schooling and then get qualified as professionals in the Bahamas. How dare the government of Bahamas rob us of that? How dare they? And I say that very seriously. How dare you do that to this segment of the population that over 2025, Debbie, mm-hmm. has been the second pillar of this economy? We moved up from the third
to the second.
And in fact, for three of the four quarters, and y'all could check the stats on this, construction has led all indicators in income generation to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I do not understand what all the money that this activity generates and all the people involved in it, why we simply would want it to remain chaotic.
Yeah.
Now, Debbie, I know you can get some people upset because we can go into the space where your parents would have come from, Canada. Hmm. Here's what I love about Canada, and I went to Toronto twice. Mm-hmm. Beautiful experiences. The other time I came from spent a day when I came back from India, spent another day when I came back from my last recent trip to China. It is organized. Mm-hmm. You don't just go and throw up a house.
Well, truthfully, I don't think I know anybody who's actually bought a piece of property, got a plan, and built a house. That is for the very wealthy persons in Canada. It's not where, like here, anybody can go and buy a piece of property anywhere, get a plan. Mm-hmm. There's no town planning. I shouldn't say it that way. There's no planning as in all the houses look the same or mm-hmm. similar, that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. they do there. It's well planned out. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find one house that looks like a castle and looks like a modern thing.
No.
They don't do that. And because of the rules and regulations that they have, and because they're all abided by.
They have to be abided by.
Yes. You have a very
orderly,
regulated
industry.
Yes.
One of the things, and I often remember this story. I remember about 10 years ago. I don't know if most people remember when he was very big on television, Homes on Homes.
Yeah.
And I went over to Canada and met Mr. Mike Holmes, sat down in the studio. We had a wonderful conversation. I posted a photo online many years ago myself and Mike Holmes inside the studio, because I thought that was my rock star guy. Like, I wanted to meet Mike Holmes because I thought he's the guy who made construction look sexy and fun on mm-hmm. television. And I'm like, I can do that in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I'm not finished yet, so I'm working on it. I'm letting the public know I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was so cool because I'd never seen someone talk about, and his biggest thing is that you got to make it right. Okay? Right. That was the thing. You got to make it right. And he spoke so professionally about, even if you see a problem, this is how we could fix it.
Right.
This is how you should do it right. And I thought it was so instructional, and it made me love the craft of construction as a profession. Because I say, this guy he's no jokey guy. This guy is serious right. about this thing. And I love that.
Even like Bob Vila.
Yeah.
He was a big
this
one.
This old house, yeah.
Yes, and it was great because it was a lot of renovations.
Not a renovation kind of stuff, but he's...
Too.
But they were doing it professionally.
Yes.
They're not, it takes them 2x1, we throw it over there. No. It was delightful to see the profession depicted in that way. Mm-hmm. And now we're here. We're in the Bahamas, 53 years later. Mm-hmm. And we have just blatant disregard for the profession. And I'm really speaking to our elected officials. You know, let's get past the election. Okay, you won. There's some work to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Let me be the person that will engage you professionally on air and off the air. The space in construction cannot remain. That dereliction of duty by the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, by the Minister of Public Works and the Cabinet of Bahamas. I'm calling everyone. Is the responsibility of elected officials to make this country better for all of us. Mm-hmm. We are a segment of the population who desires this regulation to happen so everyone can benefit. Because let me tell you what we face every day. Debbie Deal submits a price to build something based on her skill and qualification of understanding the work. Mr. Joe Blow, who was a taxi driver yesterday, today's contractor, also submits a price. It's $100,000 less than Debbie. Here's the client now. Well, I don't know which one is right. You know why you don't know which one is right? Because there is no way for you to determine that that guy absolutely knows nothing about the pricing of work, and this person does. You have not, the public has nothing.
But no guidelines.
No guidelines.
No guidelines.
So I often tell people, a friend of mine, we went to college together, so we do a lot of work, and we often in the same bidding pool and pricing work. And I'll be like, okay, so we had this again. So what you come up with, that four-bedroom, five-bedroom house, XYZ, and Charlie, yeah, I'm at 1.15. What are you at? I'm at 1.21. We got a difference of $50,000. You understand me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then say, yeah, so we did the bids, come back in. What do you hear? The bid results? Yeah, I was at 1.15. You was at 1.2 flat. Somebody was in there at $650,000. I mean, what was he pricing? He couldn't have been pricing the same thing that we looked at. Did he see the pool? Did he see the 300 linear feet of 8-foot wall? Did he see the driveway for five cars with sparkled glass rock? Did he see the LED system inside the media room? Did he see all the things we saw?
When we used to bid on jobs for the government, there was three of us that would always bid. Well, three of us would always come in with maybe, if let's say it was a $1 million job, mm-hmm. we might be $10,000 out.
Between the three of us,
right? Mm-hmm. But there was always that person that was like $600,000 that would get the job but never finish the job.
Of course not.
And that's the thing that is, I know the government says we have to take the lowest bid, but you don't.
No, you don't.
Change that.
You're the government. You can do anything.
The lowest bid does not necessarily mean it's going to be the right bid.
No.
It doesn't mean you're going to get the job done. It doesn't mean the job is going to be done correctly. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to hire somebody else to finish the job, which will cost you
more money
because
that person
wouldn't have the contract with the pricing of goods at the same time. These are the things that actually happen, and it's really, it's not fair.
To the people who priced it right the first time.
Right. That's not fair to the customer.
Yeah.
You know, if the government wants to do that, that's fine. But there's other customers besides the government, and they should be taken care of fairly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But before we get too far into this conversation,
yes,
I want to throw these numbers early for you guys to join in the conversation. The numbers you could call is 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and from the family islands we love so much, it's 242-300-5720. And if you want to join the conversation by text line, powered by BTC, it is 422-4796. Please join the conversation with questions or your comments about what we're discussing today. And what we are discussing is the need for regulation of the construction industry, the need for professional standards of work, the need for professional standards of operation, and based on what we talked about earlier off air, the need for people to know who are the contractors in this country.
Yes.
Like, I don't, and I hate repeating the words, I don't know, but I only could say that. Could you imagine? I could go right now on Google, and I could put in Florida General Contractors. I will end up with a landing page of the licensed general contractors in Florida. And there are tens of thousands of them and their registration numbers. All of the numbers will show up. So I can say, okay, no, I went to college in Florida, graduated a bunch of guys. I say, let me see how much of my friends are general contractors. Guess what I can do? I can go online and find them.
Well, I need to tell you about the meeting that I went to today.
Go ahead.
So I went to a workshop with the CCEAU.
EAU stands for?
It's Climate Change...
CC, which is climate change.
Environmental. Assessment unit.
Okay.
Right. And we're talking about climate change and how we are going to do a proper plan for climate change and all the things associated with this. And the one person that was there from IDB was said that they went to the Ministry of Works, and the Ministry of Works said that they're, because it's the family of islands too, it's not just New Providence, the family of islands, that there aren't enough contractors in the family islands to actually do the work. So I had to speak up and say, that is not true. You just don't know who they are because they're not registered and they're not licensed. If everybody was licensed and registered, you would know who is in Mayaguana and who is in Acklands, and who's Catan Island, who's in Inagua, that are contractors and what they do. Are they carpenters? Are they masons? Are they general contractors? Are they electricians? Are they, you know... We have the ability to do that.
We have an ability
so
to
I
do
said,
it.
I said, the reason you don't have that, is, and you will never have it, is it, unless we are licensed and registered, you will never know.
You
should have a country registry of all of those, just like you have with architects and engineers and doctors and lawyers and.
So let me put more emphasis on the question, and thank you, Debbie, for bringing that to attention. So think about it. You're a developer, okay, or you're a very rich person from wherever.
Right.
I come to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I connect with a real estate firm. Mm-hmm. I buy a piece of land.
Right.
I go. I look online. I find the Institute of Bahamian Architects. Mm-hmm. I get an architect. I get drawings prepared. I go to the IBA site, mm-hmm, and I got, what is it called? The Bahamas Engineer Society. Bahamas Engineer Society, mm-hmm, BES, and I find an engineer. So I got my architect online, mm-hmm, I got my engineer online, mm-hmm, so I got plans and I got engineering, I got everything done. Mm-hmm. Now I want to build. Mm-hmm. Where do I go to find the contractor? Oh, I know. You go ask your buddy who built a house, hey, who did you use? What is this? What is this?
There should be a regular registry like there is with everything
like with
else.
Everything. And let me put more of the point to it. The Bahamian people have been paying the salary of the registrar of contractors since 2016. We have been paying a person whose job is to register contractors. Mm-hmm. From 2016, who's not registered one contractor?
Because
and
we don't
give
have
me my sign upset about it. I'm upset for the Bahamian people whose monies have been wasted on an office that has done nothing. That's appalling. Why do we operate like this? And then on the other end, I'm going to get political. On the other end, I see these men and women in Parliament prancing up and down like peacocks talking about progress. You have not progressed that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, explain that to me.
In the Bahamas, the handbook, right? It always, back in the 80s, it talked about the construction industry was the number one industry in the Bahamas, like the highest income industry
in
the
Bahamas.
This
was in the 80s.
Yes, it was in the 80s. And from there, it still hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
You know, it still brings in more money than other industries, but we still are not able to be regulated and recognized. So people come to this country and never know who's here and what's here and what they do. You'd be surprised from the people that we have luncheons with and talk about the things that they do and the persons that belong to our association. They do things that I thought were only done
in
Europe.
In the States, yeah.
Yes, but even
well,
things
would
in
we
Europe.
We have them here.
Yes.
But we don't know that we have them here because we don't have a registry of contractors. And again, I'm speaking as a president of the Contractors Association. I am so disappointed in the leadership of this country. And speaking specifically about the prime minister of this country. Now, I'm willing to take the licks. I got broad shoulders. I'm the oldest of five boys, so I know to have gotten a fight or two in my life, I can tell you right now. But I'm going directly at the person who sat across from the table and promised us to do something and has not done it.
Yes.
Now, I'm not here.
That was last September. Yeah, the end of August.
August, actually. Yeah. End of August, going to September.
Yeah.
I'm not here to degrade or defame or anything. But I'm saying, I thought that gentleman who we had a meeting with was serious about the landmark legislation that he helped to bring to the Parliament of Bahamas and pass it. I thought he was serious about that.
We have the right to be professionals.
Okay. And I thought that his government that promoted for 6 months after that conversation about progress was serious about that. But today, I seriously take the gloves off because my intelligent brain, my logical brain, can't reconcile where we are today against the conversation we had of what I see in Parliament. I listen to every single debate. I don't miss it. And I hear them talk about any matter of thing. We're going to legislate marijuana. I tell you what. Marijuana legislation regulation is not going to impact the construction industry in a positive way. Let me go there and say that. You could make all the pharmacies to legalize marijuana. You got the smoke shops. I go to Florida. They're all over the place. Yeah, hoo-hoo. But when someone wants to come to the Bahamas and spend $500,000, it's not going to be in the marijuana shop. And I'm disappointed that that's the first thing we're talking about in this legislative session. I got friends who are now members of Parliament for the first time, and I message them. I say, this is where we at. With the things that we got, that's what y'all talking about? And you want me to take you seriously as now a professional legislator? When you are leaving billions of dollars of construction unregulated. But we want to talk about what's important for us today is let's figure out how to smoke some weed. I tell you what, we can smoke weed whether you're regulated or not. That's been happening. So I heard the virus should bubble. That's happening.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want legal to sell it? Sell it anyhow. Boo-hoo. Well, what is something that's important to the Bahamian people is having the regulation of a construction sector that touches and concerns every citizen. People call Debbie and me and thousands of contractors every day. I need a quote for a home. I need an extension for my house. I want to build a church. I want to do an office building, a complex, every day. And they have to rely on our ability as professionals to not offer them terrible service, correct, to not defraud them. They have to rely on us because, correct, the government of Bahamas offers no protection.
Correct.
Someone called me the other day. You know, I met a contractor. He was supposed to do something, and he ran off any money. I said, well, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about that. What do you mean? You can go to police. You can go to police. You can file a civil suit. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you got to take him to court. Court have to determine which was the scope of work. Did he actually commit fraud or he just was terrible at it? You know, there's no rule of being terrible at doing the thing that you promised to do. There's no rule against that.
But if the board was chosen and the register and the registry and everything was there.
And if
that same thing happened, there is an actual
mechanism. There's mechanisms
for that, so we
exactly
wouldn't have to end up in court.
Well, and again, even if you end up in court and you spend your $50,000, $60,000, a good attorney will say, "Well, my client acted to the best of his ability. Mm-hmm. What was his ability?
Right.
Did you know beforehand?
No.
You imagine? Let me say it like this: we go in planes knowing that it won't fall out of the sky because we know the pilot had to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So he's acting to the best of his ability.
Right.
I'm watching, and I hope my good brother, who owns this business on Cowpen Road, who sells a great number of building supplies. And I had a conversation with him about this construction that's going on, which is, for lack of a better word, needing some professional intervention, right? And I told him, you need to hire a skilled foreman or a person who understands construction properly, because of the speed at which you're getting built, they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, the product at the end of the day will look okay,
mm-hmm,
but make sure you cover it up very quickly because no two corners of it are right or straight or plumb or level, and it is what it is. And so I say that to say, those are the persons that are building your stuff.
Right. And I get calls.
And it's horrible.
On a regular basis from persons saying, well, we got names and, you know, we called the persons and they came to look. And after that, they just they never contacted us back. And I said, and they said, well, why wouldn't they do that? And I said, well, they either mm-hmm. they don't want to say no, because in case they want to have to come back.
Or
it may be too tedious a job and they don't want to be bothered to do it, right? They move to do it.
And that's something and very honest people could say.
And they also don't know how to price it properly. So these are reasons why they wouldn't do it.
Yes.
And truthfully, it's
and
a
those
sin,
are legitimate reasons.
But yes, but yeah. it's a sin that they don't pay.
I can't
do this right now. You know, I'm too busy or whatever. But if they did do it for you, I could guarantee you that the work would be as bad as the bad service of just not even getting back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is sad.
So, Debbie, today we're really being honest about the challenges in the industry. And the challenge in the industry affect everyone. I want people to appreciate that this cry that we're making, this clarion call, is not because we need this to happen for us. We go there and get jobs regardless, whether they're regulated or not. Our professional names go before us. We're going to get work regardless. You know who it doesn't work for well? The people who doesn't have the brand and recognition, who doesn't have the name, who have to convince somebody that they just met that I can build this house for you.
Yeah.
Because if I had a registration list and I could see that these persons are contractors, I have a greater sense of security. But you just showing up to me and you got a business license and a truck. I don't know if you could count the amount of blocks you need inside this house. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. And you have to appreciate that that's where clients are. They don't know what you can do. That's not what this country should be.
No.
So every time when I know I get into a lot of conversation on Facebook, you could look me up. I argue with everyone. But I specifically have an issue, because I got into it another day with someone on Facebook, where from their vantage point, this is as good as we can get.
What?
And I dare not agree with that. We could be so much better.
See, the people don't understand that in the act that has already passed, right? In the actual registration and licensing of contractors, mm-hmm. there is a way where the client and the contractor are protected.
Yeah.
There's ways that you can actually deal with situations,
yeah.
and they're all written up in that how it can actually happen.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that we need to be a part that the board would actually make sure that these things are actually happening. And you would be able to go to this board and say, this is an issue that I'm having. And is the word arbitrated?
It would be arbitrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that way you're protected. Right
yes.
now there's no protection.
It's not at all.
For the contractor who may not get paid because the client decides not to pay them, or the client who gets a lousy job and can't get the job fixed or redone.
And Debbie, to that point, something is better than nothing. So right now, like you said, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. No matter how egregious an act is, mm-hmm. the guy is still out there, or the lady is still out there performing work.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how terrible some client is to a contractor, they're still in a short situation or at a loss, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we talk about. We got to get better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So to this whole narrative that we should just shut up, because it is how it's been for 1,000 years and 53 years. And just, you know what? You know what?
Yeah.
When I came from school, the roads were running a different direction from where it's running
yeah.
now. So we obviously changed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I came from school, mm-hmm. we didn't have the abundance of places you could get free Wi-Fi in the park. So we made parks, right? We made improvements in that.
There wasn't even Wi-Fi.
There wasn't even Wi-Fi hardly, right? So I'm saying, if things can be changed and improved,
mm-hmm.
that's the desire. You should want to. And I often go back to this conversation. I tell people all the time, I argue on Facebook because I've been and seen better.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some things which shocked me. China shook me to my core, because at that point in time, I thought America was it. And I will tell you, wherever America thinks they are, they're 50 years behind China.
Yeah.
And wherever we think we are, we're 100 years behind America. So let's put that in perspective. If I say America's 50 years behind China, and we're 100 years behind America, where does that sit? We are 150 years behind wherever the world's best is.
Because China has to take care of what one point something billion persons, right? They are always out there trying to be more creative. How can we make energy cheaper? How can we build cheaper?
Yes.
How can we do all of these things? Because we have to house these people. We have to feed them. We have to give them jobs. And they do that. And I just want the audience to know that we do understand that in the United States, England, Europe, there are same situations that we have here,
but not as many
because there's regulations and rules to actually deal with
and
it.
Here we don't have anything to deal with.
No protection.
And we're only, and someone said it perfectly, we are only a microcosm of the world. Mm-hmm. Whatever issues in another country is here. It's not as big as it is somewhere else. Like, last word, and someone had this conversation with me on Facebook. Oh, well, they have homelessness everywhere. I will say this. 10,000 people homeless in L.A. is a problem. 15 people homeless inside Nassau, I could take one structure I see that's unoccupied. Mm-hmm. The government could take $1 million, give it to me and Debbie, we renovate the thing, the 15 people that live there. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me what small problems that I could fix like that. Yeah. I was insulted by the person telling me, oh, you can fix the homeless problem. I passed a building that once was a 15-unit apartment. It's been abandoned for 20 years. That's 15 rooms right there.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about things that are literally one iota of thought solutions.
Yeah, and that should not even happen. The amount of abandoned buildings that we have in this country, I've never been to a country where I've seen as many abandoned buildings as this.
Well, I have, unfortunately.
Oh.
China.
Oh, so, yeah.
With all the things they do have, unfortunately, let me tell you what they did, which was a kind of good and bad at the same time. And this is just a testament to what and how quickly they move. At the peak of when everything in real estate was going super well,
before 2008, I bet,
thousands of high-rise condo buildings.
Right.
They're all empty. Wow. Thousands of high-rise condo buildings are empty. Because they built them. Then the crash happened. And now people can't afford them. So much so that if you get a bonus, they give you a condo.
Wow.
Because they got so much inventory. They have so much of it. They play the card game.
There's the maintenance fees and all that kind of stuff when you live in a condo, too. You've got to pay all of
exactly.
those fees.
But they have so much, Debbie, of them. Like, yeah, I hit your car on the side of the road, and your car, you know, I tell you what, I own with five of these condos. You want to have one, I don't want to fix your car. Like, that's so easy they trade them.
Wow.
That's how much abundance they have on, because what they did is do, and they just built. And what I love about them is they see a problem, okay, they look at it, what do we need to do? And once they pick that's the thing they can do, they go all in on it. So I mean, from city after city, I'm on a bullet train going at 200 miles per hour, and I'm watching this thing, I'm passing this just landscape of condos as far as my eye can see, all 10, 15, 20, sorry, for like 10 minutes. You know how much condo buildings that is, and you're traveling at 200 miles per hour, and you're looking at something for 10 minutes? Okay. So I want people to appreciate that scale. But yeah, so we have some things that we can do. And then on the topic of solutions, and I sometimes listen to my parliamentarians, and I want them to reach out to people. I really want them to talk to people. We continue to go to Parliament, and maybe it'll happen to me. So if I get there, Debbie, tap me on the shoulder and say, you've become one of them, where somehow once you enter that door, and I don't know what color the door is, but you think you know more than everyone else who's never walked in that space. Hmm. For example, I hear them talk about they're now discussing, it's just laughable, the fact that our population is aging and persons are living, are leaving their elderly ones at the one or two old folks' homes that we have here. Mm-hmm. That's a brilliant idea. Let me help you, politician, where you guys, Minister of Social Services, rather than talking with legislation of what to do to penalize families, here's a brilliant idea. There's millions of square foot of land in Grand Bahama. There's no economic activity in Grand Bahama. Why don't you build several assisted living communities in Grand Bahama So the Haymans, who don't want to leave their loved ones on these horrible place we call old folks' home, could have a place that they could financially afford to send their elderly and or persons who are not so elderly to live out their retirement with dignity. There's an idea in 53 years that somehow no minister of social services has thought about.
Well, we could even do that here. I mean, look at
no, that's what I'm saying.
Look at the corner hotel that's been closed down for
10 plus years.
Could you imagine the amount of persons that could stay there?
Yes,
right.
I can.
And that way, your family is here.
Your family is here,
and you're the
in an assisted living community.
Yes.
Notice that I never say, and I will never say, because I visited several, and they were gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I will never say old folks home.
Right.
So Debbie mm-hmm. ain't old, and she's 72, or 71, or one of them age.
Two.
You look 60, so it doesn't make a difference to me. And she's not old, so I don't like the word old folks home, because mm-hmm. Debbie outruns me. She's not old. She'll think she's up in the morning early than me, and she's doing, she's not old. So I don't like that concept.
Yeah.
So until we shift that, and I'm here, if you don't have the ideas, ask somebody who may have it,
mm-hmm.
but we suffer for your lack of ideas and your lack of ability to reach out and touch and ask somebody, what should we do? But just to tell me, oh, we're coming to legislation, and what we can do is, Debbie, your mom is in the old folks home now. You have to take care of her. Yeah, you know what? Telling me I have to take care of her doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
Making me, penalizing me doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
Solutions solve problems.
Right.
That's a construction result.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to build 10 of them. One on Andrus. No, four on Andrus. Three in Lutra.
Mm-hmm.
And on the beautiful island of Lutra.
Mm-hmm.
10 in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a brilliant idea. You build them in Grand Bahama. You know that statistically the number one retirement state in the United States is Florida.
Florida.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because older people don't like the cold. Guess where it's not cold? Florida.
Correct.
You know what's way more gorgeous than Florida? The Bahamas.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just don't understand why our 41 elected people, and maybe I can't speak too much with mm-hmm. the side opposite because they don't control the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
You get the other 30-odd. What is wrong? Would you guys looking further than the end of your desk when you'll get there and thinking how amazing this country could be if we just really try some really hard stuff? We're spending the money anyway.
And I feel bad for persons that do have elderly parents that need care because you still have to work. You're still in the working age, right, where you have to,
yeah.
You know, you've got kids in school and grandkids and all that kind of stuff. And you have to, it's emotionally, physically, and mentally challenging. And it could be so much easier if these derelict buildings could be taken
or be converted into places
like that. Even if one house had four bedrooms and there was four persons in that house with a caregiver, those are the kind of then you're also giving a job for a caregiver.
And you're also creating a job for construction.
Thank you.
And you're also improving the environment.
Thank
and now
you.
One place which was a derelict place is now landscaped, is now maintained, mm-hmm. is now the community benefits from that.
Right.
Debbie, there's no bad spin off of that, you know. There's only positive.
If there's 49 ministers, there must be 49 constituencies. There should be some in each of those constituents. 41. I apologize.
That's fine.
Yeah.
41.
Anyway, it sounds like they're telling us we're going on a break.
We have a break?
Yes.
I need a break. I need to get some water. Because I'm filled with disappointment with the level of leadership in this country. And I've said it. I've said it out loud. I'm disappointed. And, yeah, I do think that some of us can do it better. There, I said it. But we need to go to a break so I can get some water, and we'll be back after this.
And now a word from your local Sherwin-Williams Paints family.
We were taught that we must communicate with the customers so that we can give them the right product that they need, not just because you are make a sale. We make it a point to ask questions so that we can make your project that day effective. Do it right the first time.
That's the truth.
That's how we is.
That's how we is.
Not a joke.
No joke at all.
Sherwin-Williams Bahamas. Find color in...
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7 and select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our family island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with the new CBSBahamas.com.
The light goes out, the AC stops, the fridge is silent, and your family is left in the dark again.
You don't have to live like this. With a Cat generator from Machinery and Energy Limited, your home stays powered, no matter the storm. Protect your peace, protect your home. Always on, always ready. Visit me-ltd.com or call today, Machinery and Energy Limited, 1 College Avenue, Oaksfield at 323-5701. Be ready before the next storm hits.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do, go to the paint place. So if you wanna paint it right the first time, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place. And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
All right, now the last people are supposed to answer this, either they brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro, I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow, all right, question is, it doesn't rust, no corrosion, it's lighter and stronger than its opponent. What is it?
I know, but it's steel?
Nope, wrong answer, fiberglass rebar. Y'all ain't sharp.
I go on and say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer compared to steel. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM.
And this is the part of the show where we thank our sponsors for making sure that we are still on the air. And we appreciate you very, very, very much. This week are ART Development, CBS Bahamas, Sherwin-Williams, and a new one, which is M&E Limited. And again, we are a nonprofit organization, and we appreciate every single person who recognizes that we are doing something to help the country. And we really appreciate the fact that you also let us let people know what is going on in the country with subcontractors and suppliers and that type of thing. Some people just don't know. Yeah. And we appreciate that we can actually be the ones that talk about
and
you.
And promote that.
Yes.
Matters. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So our phones are lit up, so let's take this first caller. I'm Mr. Engineer. Which one of these I could take? Anyone? Okay, let's take this first caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
A pleasant good evening, sir. Good pleasant good evening, Mrs. Steele and Mr.
Sands.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm awesome.
I love listening to your show. But
thank
can
you.
I say something?
Go ahead.
You're speaking about contractors and it being regulated. But have you all ever thought about communities where there are so many illegal structures and all of these different building goes up in different areas? I'm a Bahamian. I had to purchase a property. I had to register my property. I had to get so many things done to my property. But yet still, if I put a structure on my property, which is not in line with the government, it will be torn down. Other persons can do it. And we're only speaking about the contractors not being regulated or all of that. But we need to see all of these different structures that are not regulated or not the government not doing enough to oversight that, what is going on. I'm quite sure the government know where everyone is building a structure. We don't have to necessarily tell them they have satellites. They know exactly where everyone is building illegal structure. But yes, I'm a Bahamian, and I have to do things by the book.
The proper way.
Right.
Yeah. Caller, thank you very much for your call, and thank you for your comment. The Bahamian Contractors Association has been very vocal in public about what would have been the failure of the Ministry of Public Works and the Building Regulations officer who has responsibility for ensuring that illegal structures are not built. So you are correct. It is unfair, and we've said that on this show. Mm-hmm. It is unfair that as you or I or any Bahamian, mm-hmm. we have to go and request a building permit. We got to go and make sure we could prove that we own the land. We could go and do all these things, get an architect, engineer, like you're saying, ma'am. But then we also agree with you. You go around in the shanty towns. I've been here for 20 and 30 years, and like I'm like, they didn't do any of that.
No,
but
sir.
Yet they get to exist. And in fact, I will go even further. The mud in Abaco, which had been repopulated, and the pigeon bees in Abaco that's been repopulated, still none of them, none of those communities can produce a building permit.
That's right.
I would have torn all of them down. Me, Leonard Sands, if I was the Building Regulations Officer, because all I would have do is cited the Buildings Regulation Act, which said that you cannot erect a structure, like this lady's saying, mm-hmm. where you did not first apply for a permit to build it.
And we don't even know who the people are that are building them.
No clue.
No clue.
To what standard they were built.
Yeah.
But of course, and I will say this point to our caller, the government has sanitized the process by going in there and saying, oh, the structures look like they're sound. Oh, the structures look like they are safe and satisfactory. So they have not demolished the peas and the mud in Abaco. It still is an offense that they built it without a building permit.
But not even owning the property.
So, ma'am,
build on somebody else's property.
Here's what I tell all Bahamians. And speaking as the president of the Contractors Association, mm-hmm. and I invite the backlash. I invite whoever political want to call me. Do what you want on your land. Because others come and do what they want on your land. Mm-hmm. Now, I tell people all the time, you could see me in court. But I know one thing. You know Barco can come inside my yard. You can lose tires and you lose a lot more that day. I dare you. You can bring yourself. The land I pay land for, what I pay money for, and you got people who can come on the land and do what they want to do and they ain't on the land, I dare you. Because
many of the legal structures that are torn down in the Carmichael Rule are already built back again.
I know, already.
So we're putting them down and they're building them back next week.
Because
so somebody's got enough money to buy them, to buy all the materials.
Obviously. Wow. But ma'am, you are so right, and yes. Bahamians are watching, and we are aware. So you continue to do what you want to do on your land, because it's yours. And if they want, they first have to start by saying, do you own the land? And when you start saying yes, now good. Now, the only thing I can tell people, when I didn't build it, did you get a permit to build it? No, I didn't, but I can file for one tomorrow, but I still got this land, so you'll come off my property, please. Ma'am, thank you for this call. We go on to the next call. Thank you very much for listening. Call it live. Go ahead. Caller, are you there? Okay, we lost that caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to you, Ms. Deal, and to you, Mr. Cy, C. Allen Johnson.
This is Cy. Good to speak to you, C. Allen. I got your text message.
Me as well.
Okay. Let me just talk about what a proper regulated construction industry brings. That includes the contractors as well as home building.
Let's talk about it.
I've heard for decades that I've been home concerning shanty towns and we have another word for it.
Unregulated
building slums or whatever. I talk about in the ghetto, what we call a ghetto.
Mm-hmm. I think it was starting one myself, actually.
Right. Let me tell you what happened. You could actually start one that will displace the current ones. So here's the problem, right? When you look at the price of homes and rental in New Providence and why shanty towns build for the lack of housing. Now, I could tell you unequivocally, I would accept any argument from anybody in the industry to say to you that we do not have a housing crisis. However, we have a housing affordability crisis.
We have an affordability crisis, not a housing crisis.
Housing, right. So when you look at the concept of supportive housing, or social housing. You know, there's about six different definitions mm-hmm. that I'm aware of, you know, as I was working with a political party during the last election to help define the problem. Okay, because the problem probably defined is half the solution. And so when you look at it, then let's take for instance, right, if you have a supportive or social program where these incentives come in and you go and build affordable housing, which mm-hmm. is separate from affordable home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So housing gives access for shelter. Mm-hmm. So if you can build where people are in these so-called slums are paying $1,000, $1,500, and you can build a social or supportive housing regime that brings the housing at least minimum of 30 to 40%, maybe as much as 50% down in the current cost, when you go to these slums or these unregulated thing, they become non-existent because you go, say, to the slum or the ghetto, as we call it, mm-hmm. and this one person has a place with no bathroom for $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And right across the street is an $800 unit that has bathroom, AC,
yes.
and a passive housing within.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's self-correcting. It's literally self-correcting. And so the problem is that the five-year celebrities who come around with soundbite governance is where the problem is, and you're absolutely correct, because when you pass, I don't think it's the door, you know. If it was just the door, I would send everybody into the Parliament building. I think when you cross the bar, as long as you stay in the strangest area, you don't gain this facade of knowledge. When you cross that bar, is where this something changes your persona. And so, but I think that if we could actually have honest, open conversation, and I'm going to tell you, the construction industry, the potential of the construction industry going forward in a properly regulated environment with access to capitalization can beat the financial services and tourism industry combined. It's no ifs, ands, and buts, because the tourism industry itself needs almost 40,000 units. So how do you get those 40,000 units across the Bahamas unless you can have the construction industry build it? So now when you begin to build those units and begin to increase the per capita or the personal income of individuals, you now have a demand for homes and better quality homes and housing.
Totally.
So, mm-hmm. so when you look at if the government would pause and stop trying to patch the tourism hospitality product or the financial service product, and reboot those into the 21st century. I heard you talk about being behind the U.S. and everything else. You are absolutely correct. And technology-wise, we are at least 2 decades behind the curve about it. Now, mind you, we are in the future about talking about it.
Oh, we talk about it now.
But implementation, we're 2 decades behind. Right? And so if we have that conversation to say, what could be actually done as opposed to talking about it? And then when these five-year celebrities go back to their designated responsibility, which is policy,
legislation,
procedures, programs, these things, rather than trying to do it, then you would actually see a shift in the economy of the Bahamas. And I think that good leadership would actually be, you know, if I was in the Progressive Liberal Party, I'd pull them in the room and say, you know, stay in your lane. Master policy programs,
absolutely.
Legislation, regulation.
Absolutely.
And get out of the way of the professional.
As I would, before you go, let me say something. You know, what is so interesting is that if you take an hour or two and look at the average life of or the average behavior of a U.S. congressman, they talk about legislation that they need to pass or policies that they've created during your tenure. You know what we talk about? We talk about, and I opened this school, and I paved this road.
I refurbished this park.
Absolutely appallingly apparent that our legislators, who are politicians, have no clue what the job is. Mm-hmm. I expect the roads to be paved. That's what governments do.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we pay
you don't have to tell me to do it. I can see that the road was paved. Like, what do we do? And that's what I get frustrated, because the bar is so low, and the CDs guy pontificate about the lowest bar possible of representation, and they stand to their chest and they talk so boldly about it's so embarrassing. I said it. I don't care what they come after me with. It's embarrassing. But talk about policies that advance the country, see, like you're talking about. Talk about what we can be if we create this policy. Talk about what the policy is. But I don't want to see you cutting the ribbon. I really could care less. That's not the job. You didn't build it.
When I hear them talk about this drug trafficking thing embarrassing the government, and I'm saying to them, I says our broadcast from the television and parliament shouldn't broadcast them, because when we look at what we discuss as legislation, regulations, policies, rules, program, processes, procedures, and protocols, they must be think that must be like how your children would be in a kid, pretend to help play kitchen, pretend to cook. They must be look at us and say,
yes.
Is that real?
No.
That's a sitcom.
Alan.
That's what embarrassing is.
I would close to saying this. What is embarrassing to the Bahamas? They have no clue about. I leave it at that. Thank you for your call, Z. Allen. Great man. I'm Debbie. We got to go to this text message before our texts believe that we don't read the text. So it says, dear president of the Bahamian Contractors Association, I would normally tell you, Leonard Sands, as a regular citizen, to protest. I know that Debbie said she won't hold up a picket sign. But you, sir, as the president, I would urge you to sue the government for their dereliction of duty, for not appointing the contractors board. Will you? Or could that be a conflict given your contacts? Oh, sorry, given your contracts. Well, Texer, I do not have any contract with the government. And secondly, I am like Debbie. I do not believe that protesting would be effective to our cause.
No.
Firstly, if myself and all Bahamians who feel that this legislation means a lot to them decided to protest, count me in. But myself standing there and protesting, then when my board and others sat before the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, I don't believe there's no great effect will happen when I protest by myself.
Right.
So to that texter, no, I will not protest, but if you tell me 10,000 of us will meet in Ruston Square collectively to voice our displeasure that the contractors board has not been, and we are being robbed, all of us, now me the citizen and Debbie the citizen and everyone else, of this valuable piece of legislation, absolutely, count me in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think they hear us. I don't think they care. And I don't think they care because I haven't seen us. Let me give you an example. Debbie, you live in the East. Yeah. I live in the West. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, if they dig a trench across the Eastern Road, mm-hmm. that you can't go west, your minister, your member of parliament can get a phone call, get an email, because most of y'all got his contacts. But you may not have him because you keep saying you didn't see him. But Mr. White can get a call. He can get an email. He can have hundreds of people call him and say, hey, 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 what's going on here? I can't go to work. Traffic is backed up from this section of the Eastern Road all the way to Yamacore because someone opened a trench across the road. Everyone called him. That's how he knows that I got to come out there and see for myself because this is an issue. How many people have reached out to their representative and said, I have an issue about the contractors board not being appointed because I'd like to deal with professional contractors? How many persons have done that? And you've asked for that every single time we've been on the show.
I know. I would like to know if anybody actually did.
Have someone done it?
They should.
They should.
They should. If they're as concerned as they talk about it when they call and complain to us, and we're offering suggestions,
yeah.
A suggestion is
speak to your member of parliament
and send it in writing. Yeah. They have to respond back. That's part of the law.
They should. They should. They don't. I've been sending communication to the Minister of Public Works for years. The same Mr. Clay Sweeting. He's not responded back.
Really?
I said it on radio. I've said it on radio.
When Bradley Roberts was there, he always responded immediately.
Some persons mm-hmm. have more decorum than others.
Yes.
I tell you today, I got the gloves off. I'm not pretending anymore. I'm not living inside the matrix. We have poor professionals in public service. I've also asked them about when the contractors board would be appointed. I have no response either. And we have a file. The great thing about the BCA, we have a file.
Yeah.
I could publicly, if I wanted to be really, really funny, I could post every single letter we sent to the Minister of Public Works from he took office. It would be quite embarrassing. So I could tell you the elected officials that prancing up and down around the place like they're doing such a great job. You're doing such a great job in your own eye. But I can tell you, not for everybody. There's progress being made some places. And then finally, before we run out of time, let me go here with this. The Bahamian people deserve better than what we're getting. We are all thankful for what is happening, mm-hmm. but do not believe that we are living in the best of times. Do not believe that what you're doing is so far beyond what we could have imagined, that we are having a magnificent time of being Bahamians. I spoke to a young man who I'd mentored before he went off to complete his studies as a project manager.
Is that the gentleman that was at the meeting?
That's the gentleman who was at the contractors meeting. Okay. And again, because of my mentorship, first place he's going to find himself at the BCA meeting.
Awesome.
Wanting to get involved, yeah. Wanting to understand how to this space that he's now having to be back home. And guess what? He elected to come home. Great job. Already got an advancement. He's assistant project manager. Just graduated university 2 years ago. Fast track. He decided to come home. Because his mother's here, his grandmother's here, his sister's here. This is home. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I wouldn't. But you made the decision. Grown man. Mm-hmm. And he's going to find out how disappointing his decision will be in the space of construction, where he will most often be regarded less than he is professionally because he's a Bahamian, and the persons who come and work around him are from other places where they respect the profession, where they have license and what's not.
Let's hope he doesn't have that.
I can tell him that's going to be his experience because what we haven't done is prepared for him.
Yeah.
So to the politicians out there, to the team that's out there talking progress, that young man has not felt progress. As a professional in this construction space, he's now regarded as some kid who knows how to build. When he was a professional in Tampa, Florida, he's some kid that knows how to build in the Bahamas. You guys want to stand and talk about progress? You could not appreciate what progress really means to someone who would have taken their hard-earned money, their family come and watch them graduate, think that this, and they go to the job site where they and say, my son's doing all of this great stuff. But now he decided to come home to the Bahamas. And so what you do again? What you good at? They can't appreciate it because the kids decide to do law like them. or they decide to be medicine, or they decide to do accounting like them. So I guess only them, like the prime minister say, only them have real jobs. Say, I go in there. I go in there. But there's a part of the Bahamas where the rest of us had real jobs and have a real job for a very long time. Real professional jobs. And I don't want to talk about a me or a Debbie. I want to talk about the gentleman that we talked to. It's an amazing website, amazing skills and think what he does. And these are ordinary Bahamians who do professional work inside their space.
Right.
We're not the best even at this. We're just the ones you could hear.
Correct.
On a weekly basis. There are people that are 10 times better than us. And they don't get to sit in front of the mic and talk about the passion, the love, the dedication, and the professionalism that they desire for this space.
And some of these companies have been around 40 and 50 and 60 yes. years. They wouldn't have been there if they didn't do good work and if they did not respect the industry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'll close with this. I am working on a Bahamian international project.
Mm-hmm. The solar plant.
The solar plant.
Yeah.
And we're not getting a fair shake, respectfully.
Yeah.
Because they think, because all of the contractors on this site do not have a license. And so how they regard us is that only them know what they do.
Right.
Now granted, only the contractors from the Bahamas are working on the site. They're the managers.
Right.
And we're performing better than expected. Mm-hmm. But they think that we don't know what we're doing because we don't have a license.
Well, because from other countries, when you come here, that's exactly what is
that's
the case.
It.
Yeah.
And so until we, Mr. Politicians, all of them, mm-hmm. Mr. Prime Minister, until we address that, I must say this clearly so you hear me, until we address that before the 10th of July, which will mark the 53rd anniversary of what we think to be an independent nation, you have subjugated your Bahamian people to less than in their own country by your failure to regulate and appoint and license contractors in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Your job is to look out for us. We are not being looked out for. We are second-class citizens, and we did not vote for that. Fix it. I leave you to close, Debbie.
Well, we hope that everybody is safe, and we hope that somehow the industry will get regulated. And for all of those who call us and have issues and problems, if you please, please reach out to your members of parliament and let them know that you're having issues, and we believe that you believe that the if the board was chosen and we were all regulated, that the industry would be better and there would be less problems for the general public and the companies that come in from away who would like to actually hire us but cannot because we are not licensed. So everybody be safe. Thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. We really appreciate it. We will see you next week, Thursday.
Good night.
When I wake up in the morning and I take a walk outside, I see the sunshine, I see a new day, and that feeling puts a smile right on my face. I know just what to do, go to the paint place. So if you wanna paint it right the first time, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place. And if you want it to last a lifetime, go to the paint place, stop at the paint place.
The all-new CBSBahamas.com is faster, smarter, and we've made it even easier to browse our inventory of over 11,000 products. Earn reward points with every online purchase. Check out our new AI-powered chat assistant, available 24/7. You can even select a date and time for items to be delivered to your house, job site, or the mailboat. Our family island customers are loving it. Build beautiful throughout the Bahamas with CBSBahamas.com.
The light goes out, the AC stops, the fridge is silent, and your family is left in the dark again. You don't have to live like this.
With a Cat generator from Machinery and Energy Limited, for no matter the storm, protect your peace, protect your home. Always on, always ready. Visit me-ltd.com or call today, Machinery and Energy Limited, 1 College Avenue, Oaksfield, at 323-5701. Be ready before the next storm hits.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Main purpose for a lot of customers coming in and out these doors is because of the relationship built with them. Once they're comfortable, they could relate to me better.
We don't only sell paint, we sold people.
Some customers need extra patience.
Whatever your paint or patience needs, the entire Sherwin Williams Paints team are ready to show you some good customer service. Sherwin Williams Bahamas, find color in every day.